Welcome to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. My co-host, Melissa Ross, is off this week. Thanks for listening to Public Radio. Parts of the Sunshine State are reopening, even as the number of COVID-19 cases and deaths continue rising. From Northeast Florida,
we will be reopening the beaches and parks throughout Duval County for essential activities only.
To Panama City Beach in the Panhandle.
I feel like we should open it for limited access and then monitor it as tight as we can monitor something.
To the beaches in Sarasota County.
I think it's great for people to be able to go out and get fresh air. I think that's a key thing right now.
And to some places in Miami-Dade County.
We're looking at open spaces first, and those will be parks, those will be marinas, that will also be golf courses, not beaches.
Parts of Florida are emerging from a month-long shutdown. Stay away, stay-at-home status. A task force put together by Governor Ron DeSantis has been working all week toward coming up with recommendations for how to reopen different parts of the state's economy in hopes of safely getting businesses and people back to work. The group's plan is due this afternoon on this Friday. Since mid-March, more than 1.5 million Floridians have filed for unemployment. Only about 1 in 6, though, have collected an unemployment payment. And COVID infections now top 30,000 statewide with more than 1,000 deaths. More than 1,000 new cases were reported on Thursday. The confirmed cases are concentrated in South Florida with over 60% of the infections. Now, later on this hour on our statewide program, hundreds of nursing homes have had patients or staff members come down with the virus. What do we know about these facilities and what's being done to protect patients? That's coming up later on. But right now, has your community lifted some restrictions? Have you been able to go to the beach, to the park? How can some parts of the state reopen while still protecting public health? We want to hear from you. Phone lines are open statewide, 305-995-1800. 305-995-1800. Share your experiences with us. At Florida Roundup is our Twitter handle. Lawrence Maurer is back with us, a Capitol reporter for the Tampa Bay Times, with us via FaceTime. Lawrence, welcome back to the program. Thanks for your time today. What are the kinds of considerations that are being made by this state task force as we await its, I guess, initial report in just a matter of a few hours?
Thanks for having me. Short answer is we don't know. First of all, the governor gave them, these task forces, a deadline of today. We learned yesterday afternoon that that's not going to be the case, that they're going to get these recommendations to the governor sometime early next week. It's all been very vague. But what they are looking at are, there have been some mention of allowing hospitals to do elective surgeries and other kind of very specific things like that. But as far as how society should open up and operate, it's been pretty vague.
What will happen to these recommendations? Putting a blue ribbon panel together is a common strategy for a government to kind of poll interested parties, but does it just wind up in a three-ring binder on a shelf somewhere in an office in Tallahassee, or is there going to be some kind of fuel behind these recommendations to put them in place?
Well, ultimately, it's up to the governor, Ron DeSantis. He's the one who convened these guys. He's the one who will get their reports and kind of take them under advisement. What I expect will happen is that there will be some specific things in there, like lifting the requirement for elective surgeries, but it's largely going to follow what the White House does. I mean, the governor, Ron DeSantis, has been kind of following Trump's lead on a lot of these things, and the White House has issued some kind of vague guidelines for reopening the country kind of in three phases.
Yeah, those guidelines talk about kind of a 14-day step down in cases, infections, but also a step up in testing. So where is kind of the testing question sitting with this state task force?
Well, to be frank, it hasn't been mentioned. I've not heard it mentioned once on these task forces, which largely do not include any public health officials and very little discussion about public health. These task forces, I mean, the main task force, there's an executive committee, and then there's a bunch of smaller ones with a bunch of other people on it. But the executive committee has no public health officials on it. What they're, and it's kind of that's been a major issue. I mean, in fact, just a couple days ago, the House Speaker said, look, we need some kind of direction from public health officials here. We don't really know what we're supposed to be doing or recommending without their involvement. And there's practical questions about this. Like, for example, yesterday, the CEO of Florida Power and Light said, well, you guys kind of want us to screen employees for fevers when people come back. But what if we can't? We just can't, you know, we don't have enough things to test people for fevers. What do we do? And the state's public health official basically said, well, you know, these are just kind of recommendations right now. And that's kind of the state of things, which is it's just very, very vague.
Let's talk about the state of the unemployment system real quick, because you've done some great reporting on this. It's been a little more than a week since the unemployment system in Florida got a new boss. We have seen a new dashboard, so a bit more information about the number of claims filed, how they're being filed, and the number of claims that have been paid, unemployment claims. Has much changed in terms of the pace of acceptance or denial of these claims?
No. To be frank, no. Yes, there is more public information about the system. They are being a little bit more communicative with the press and the public. But really, I mean, they are at this point going backwards. There are more claims coming in than there are claims being processed. So there's three phases to every claim. Of course, you need to file it. That's phase one. That has been an issue for a long time, but that pretty much has been resolved. People are allowed, are getting their claims in now. The second phase is the state needs to process these things, which they need to verify somebody's identity, you know, whether the how long they've been out of work, their salary, all those kinds of things. That is the key thing. And that has been a massive struggle for the state. They're only still doing about 5,500 of these processing about 5,500 claims a day right now. To put it in perspective.
Go ahead.
There's 1.7 million claims. Now, some of those are duplicates, but at 5,500 a day, they're not going to get through the current claims that they have until January of next year. That's the pace they're working on right now. And
Lawrence,
it's frankly
stick
not
with
acceptable.
Us here. Lawrence, yeah. Stick with us. Lawrence Maurer with the Tampa Bay Times. He's going to stick with us. We want to go around the state, though, and hear how different communities are debating or discussing the potential of reopening, how and when. Sky LeBron, reporter at WJCT, our partner station in Jacksonville, is with us. Sky, Jacksonville kind of took a step forward here a week ago today, opening beaches. What's the last week been like on the sand?
Yeah, obviously there was some national buzz from that, but from what we can see based on pictures and people who have been out there, is that people are trying to practice social distancing measures and the beaches aren't completely jam-packed all the time. I think this weekend will be a big testament to how these beaches will be in terms of crowds, as there's going to be more time to plan to go out to the beach, and it takes away the initial influx of people. But there's still a decent amount of people that disagree with the idea of opening the beaches. I mean, you just look to the north of us in Nassau County, the Fernandina Beach area. They chose to keep their beaches closed until early May to make sure that it's not doing more harm than good.
On Thursday this week, the Jacksonville mayor, Lenny Curry, said he believed the shutdown orders helped flatten the infection curve in Duval County. And he also framed part of the debate over when and how to reopen this way. Take a listen.
People are restless. I'm restless. My family is restless. And we should be. When an entire economy is shut down, jobs are lost, and our way of life is disrupted, and with the projections coming nowhere close to what was predicted, people will question decisions. And more importantly, future warnings.
He went on to say, quote, another massive shutdown is not an option while planning for a possible resurgence. So, Sky, what shape is this planning in Jacksonville taking?
So a lot like Governor DeSantis, Curry has kind of created his own team that he's consulting with when it comes to reopening. A lot of them are business leaders, leaders from local authorities, and medical leaders as well. He said yesterday in a press conference that he's planning on a soft opening in May, And he made sure to stress not late May. He also announced a huge stimulus package that he's trying to get passed by the city council. It's around $160 million, and $40 million would go to thousands of households to help people pay their rents, mortgages, utility bills, and then other money is being allocated for testing and the small business grant program that the city has put on to keep some of these local businesses alive.
Yeah, we've seen some local governments now get into the stimulus business, so to speak. Sky, thank you for sharing your reporting with us. Sky LeBron, WJCT reporter in Jacksonville. Let's go over to the Tampa area. WUSF's reporter Kathy Carter is along with us. Kathy, tell us about the Sarasota County decision this week to reopen beaches.
Hi, Tommy. Yeah, on Wednesday, Sarasota County commissioners had a unanimous vote. They are calling it a phased reopening of the beaches. So beginning Monday, Sarasota County beaches will be open to fishing and walking and swimming, but they're not opening up the parking lots. They said they'll revisit that at the next commission meeting, which is next Tuesday. So beginning Monday at 6 a.m. in Sarasota County, folks can walk on the beach. They can get there because, again, they can't park. However, what's interesting is although Sarasota County does manage the county beaches, there is one public beach within the city limits in downtown Sarasota. Lido Beach will not be opening because they have that jurisdiction and they think it's too soon. And the city manager there has said they will wait till the data comes in that it's safe to do so.
Tell us a little bit about Manatee County, a little south of Sarasota. It's a relatively small county population-wise, but it has the fourth most nursing home cases of COVID-19. What's the state of testing there?
Well, Manatee County announced today they've obtained 740 additional testing kits, and they are hosting their second drive-through testing site. That'll happen next Wednesday through Friday. You will have to have a doctor's appointment to do so. And yes, there's been 40 deaths in Manatee County, and that is due to two nursing homes that are owned by the same company that have contributed to a lot of those deaths. And Manatee County, one of the only counties in the region that had a stay-at-home emergency order, they just lifted that after 2.5 weeks at their meeting on Tuesday. I should say a local curfew in addition to the stay-at-home order from 11 p.m. to 5 a.m. That was lifted on Tuesday.
Kathy, thank you for that. I will let folks know later on in this program, about 10, 12 minutes or now, we're going to be talking about the state of nursing homes and COVID-19 in Florida. Do you have a loved one in a facility? What are you hearing from them and from the facility regarding precautions for the infection of COVID-19? 305-995-1800. Joe Burns is with us now, WMFE's reporter in the Villages, a huge retirement community. Joe, it announced reopening plans this week. What are those plans? What's taking shape in the Villages?
Hi, Tom. Yeah, the Villages has announced a three-phase plan to reopen. Now, the Villages is a retirement community that sort of has a government. It has a government made up of community development districts. And so the rules for Lake County and Marion County and Sumter County will apply to it as well. But within the Villages itself, the big thing is all the recreation, all the recreation centers, the pools, the different pickleball courts and things like that. So they have a plan moving forward to how to do that. Next week, they're going to clean everything. They're going to add some social distancing buffers and things like that. And then the following week, assuming the state is, you know, that the governor is changing the rules, they'll begin to open their recreation centers and their swimming pools for limited use from 8 to 8.
8 out of 10 COVID deaths in Florida, Joe, are in people 65 years old and older. The Villages, as we mentioned, is a big retirement community. What has life been like in the Villages over the past 5 or 6 weeks with COVID-19?
You know, you make an excellent point about the age issue, and that's why everybody's been so worried about the Villages, because Sumter County, where most of the Villages is, I mean, their median age is like 68, right? Mm-hmm. So people have been very worried about that. And there's 75 cases in the Villages itself. In Sumter County, there have been 12 deaths. I mean, compare that to Alachua County, right, which is much younger. They have like 37% more actual cases, but only one death.
Yeah, that's so where Gainesville is located, age, that county.
Right. It's the age that's the big issue. And, you know, I think the verdict on that is that despite some early news about people line dancing in the squares and things like that, they have actually been doing a pretty good job of kind of reducing social distancing and reducing community spread.
Joe, we got a tweet from a listener right as we were coming on air that said, take a look at the Villages, very little testing. What is the testing scenario there?
So they do have testing, but people have been frustrated that they can't get testing sometimes. But they've been testing at, say, a local medical facility. There's been a lot of testing at the Villages Polo Field, where they've been doing some research, and they had some diagnostic testing there as well. Though my understanding is that a lot of people have been frustrated that they can't get the diagnostic testing that they want, or they can't get the testing there because it was basically limited number of supplies.
Yeah. Joe, I appreciate the reporting you're sharing with us here on the Florida Roundup. Joe Burns, WMFE's reporter based in the Villages. Danny Rivero is a reporter at WLRN in Miami. Danny, no county has seen more cases than Miami-Dade County. This week, a draft plan was announced to reopen some spaces in Miami-Dade. What does this mean? What are they looking at?
So the county right now, under the leadership of Mayor Carlos Jimenez, is looking at, and the timeline is not set in stone, but we're expecting within the next week or so that the county will start to open up parks and marinas and golf courses, or what they're calling these outdoor facilities. That will come with some conditions and restrictions. Like if you're going to a park, you'll need to keep on a face mask. There'll be no picnicking allowed. They're asking, you know, if you use a basketball court, you'll be able to shoot by yourself and basically practice your jump shot, but they're saying you can't do any pickup games, and it's kind of unclear the enforcement of that particular thing with the parks. But the mayor did say that county officials will be at marinas watching people getting onto boats. So there's going to be restrictions of how many passengers boats will be able to have, depending on on how long and how big the boats are.
Noticeably absent from that list, beaches. Why not beaches opening?
That is something that the mayor said explicitly, that they want to get to the point where they can open beaches, but they're not doing that at this time. And one of the concerns is that Miami-Dade County wants to open up beaches in coordination with all the surrounding counties, with Broward County, Palm Beach, just to prevent if one slot of beach opens up and none of the other ones do, you're going to have massive crowds flooding to that particular beach. So they're really trying to take a regional approach.
That also comes into play when it comes to testing. We've got just about a minute or so left here, Danny, before our break, but update us on the state of testing in South Florida. Important because, as we mentioned, 60% of the cases are Palm Beach County South.
Right. So there is a lot of testing going on. Miami-Dade County has a very interesting, they're calling it a survey. They're doing random testing. They're calling people all across the county from geographically all over the place, all income area brackets and whatnot, just to get an understanding of how many people have it, how widespread it is. It does seem to be that a lot more people have it than they have otherwise testing for, but it is helping get our heads around how many cases there are out there.
Danny Rivero, reporter at WLRN in Miami. Danny, thanks for sharing your reporting with us. Appreciate it. Lawrence Maurer with the Tampa Bay Times. Stick with us here. We're going to take a short time out. Tony, Sloan, Kevin, Mike on the telephone. Stick with us. We want to hear from you, your experiences with your community. Is it ready to begin a phased reopening? What does that look like in your neighborhood, in your town? 305-995-1800. You can also share your experiences. Perhaps you have tried to get a test. Perhaps you have been tested for COVID-19. Perhaps you're unemployed and have tried to file for an unemployment payment. Share those experiences. 305-995-1800. As the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio continues in a moment. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Thanks again for listening and supporting public media. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. My co-host, Melissa Ross, is off this week. Almost 3 out of 4 Floridians think that we should all stay at least 6 feet away from one another into next month. The Quinnipiac University poll was released on Wednesday as Governor Ron DeSantis' task force has been discussing how to restart parts of the state's economy. Social distancing is one thing, certainly, but what about stay-at-home orders? Should those stay in place? Different cities may have different rules. 305-995-1800 at Florida Roundup on Twitter. Lawrence Maurer with the Tampa Bay Times is back with us via FaceTime audio. Lawrence, Politico described the state of orders as a patchwork this week. How are different communities approaching the expiration of some of these guidelines?
Yeah, it is probably going to be a patchwork, and they're all kind of figuring out their own ways to deal with this, some with pretty close involvement with the governor's office, like South Florida. South Florida will probably reopen at a slower rate than other parts of the state, but certainly like North Florida and rural parts of Florida that have not seen the number of cases that South Florida and other parts of the densely populated parts of the state have seen will probably reopen sooner. Mm-hmm. But right now, it's still, again, very vague. Like what, you know, how should barbershops operate? Are they allowed to open? How do you operate a business where everybody has to be 6 feet apart? It's all these things are still huge questions that are out there. And the $1 million question is, how do you react if there's a resurgence of this? Yeah. You know, we've already seen Korea, Singapore, other countries see a resurgence. They seem to crack down on it. Then it came back. Yeah. How do you handle that? What kind of equipment and testing do you need on hand so you're prepared for that? Those are still things that have not been resolved.
Regarding testing, PawPads01 sent us this tweet. My brother in Pinellas County has been sick for a week, can't get a test based on his symptoms. We're confident he has it. Testing is not adequate in Florida. Tony in Seminole has been holding on line one. Tony, you're on the radio. Go ahead.
I'm with the Navy League. We don't have enough doctors in any of the hospitals in Florida. We are asking for a temporary license for many of these very qualified European doctors that are here in Florida to be issued temporary licenses so that they can help. We know hundreds that will do it. Unfortunately, hundreds are also leaving for New York to help there because Governor Cuomo is issuing those temporary licenses. Mm-hmm. Governor DeSantis has to do the same thing. We're short doctors.
Tony, I appreciate that perspective and that question. How about it, Lawrence, when it comes to the supply? The governor has talked pretty frequently, and we heard from the Jacksonville mayor on a piece of tape earlier this program about flattening the curve in Florida. What about the supply of healthcare professionals, particularly doctors, MDs?
The hospitals have said that there is no issue here, that they've got plenty of bed space. They got more than enough bed space. They got more than enough supplies and doctors right now. That is something that they've been pretty consistent on, that, you know, they did not see this giant surge. But the previous person mentioned the testing, and that is still a major problem. Still right now, pretty much if you want to test, you need a doctor's note, or you got to be so sick that you walk into a hospital and get tested. For a lot of people, obviously people can carry this who are not symptomatic. And so you need a wide variety of tests of all kinds of people to really understand what's going on with this. And we're nowhere close to that.
Yeah. Kevin in Sarasota. Kevin, thanks for calling. You're on the radio.
Hello, how are y'all?
Good, doing well. You've been visiting the beaches that are reopened?
I haven't been personally, but I think it's an absolutely wonderful step in the right direction. I think people need to get out, get that vitamin D from the sun, get some exercise, and get their mind off of what's going on. I think it's refreshing, and it is definitely a step in the right direction. I think there needs to be more freedom. You know, and people usually do social distancing in groups at the beach anyways. You know, families are up, you know, against each other, but I usually do at least one sheet length away from everybody from where I'm at. So.
Yeah. Well, be careful, Kevin. I don't think you're going to be able to put a towel down on the sand just yet in Sarasota, but we appreciate that perspective. Lawrence Maurer, again, it's early next week. We expect the task force for the governor to report back recommendations. Is that right?
That's right. Yes.
Lawrence Maurer,
we'll find out what it says.
Indeed, we will together. That's right. Lawrence, appreciate you sharing your reporting with us as always here on the Roundup. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
Lawrence Maurer with the Tampa Bay Times. So let's turn our attention now to long-term care facilities, nursing homes in Florida. More than a quarter of the state's deaths have been nursing home workers or residents. In mid-March, Governor DeSantis limited access to nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and adult group homes. Here he is on Fox News this week.
We instituted screening for all staff immediately. We stopped visitation. We required all staff to wear N95 masks. I charged the National Guard with doing strike teams to do spot testing at the facilities to try to figure out if any of the staff are asymptomatic. Whenever there was an incident at a nursing home, we send these quick response teams to go and try to limit the infections. And so we focused on a laser.
After weeks of increasing pressure, the governor finally released names of facilities with reported cases of COVID-19 over this past weekend. But that list, well, it contains some incorrect and even some have said incomplete information. So let's focus on nursing homes and COVID-19 in Florida. Do you have a loved one in a long-term care facility here in Florida? What are you hearing from them? What have your experiences been? Do you work in a nursing home or adult care facility? We'd like to hear from you now, 305-995-1800. The statewide phone number wide open now, 305-995-1800. Mary Ellen Kloss back with us, Capitol Bureau Chief at the Miami Herald with us from Tallahassee. Mary Ellen, welcome back to our program. So the state list here has more than 300 facilities on it. What's missing?
Well, we have the names of the facilities, but we don't have any indication of how many of them currently have current positive cases, how many of them have people who maybe were hospitalized and so they don't have any current cases. We also don't know how many on this list are cases related to residents or staff members. And we don't know how many at each facility was, you know, resulted in somebody dying. So there's a lot of incomplete information and that is kind of having an impact on how families are assessing what's going on.
Yeah, and what's the rationale from the administration for, number one, their reluctance to release the information in the first place, and then the format in which it has been finally released?
Well, we have been trying to get them to release the names of these facilities for over a month, and they never really gave us a rationale. There have been some in the industry who've said it shouldn't be released because that violates people's privacy. But not everyone in the nursing home and assisted living community are all in agreement with that. So we never got a clear idea as to why not. As to, the reason for right now, the state is releasing more information about prisons and each individual prison than they are at each individual nursing home or assisted living facility. The state now will tell you how many staff have been tested positive at each prison, how many inmates at each prison. We don't even know that at nursing homes.
Last week, Lieutenant Governor Jeanette Nunez was on this program before the state released the list that we're talking about, and we asked her what the legal issues were that the administration was working through.
I'm not the lawyer in this case. I can only tell you that we are looking at it, making sure that there is no violations of privacy and ensuring that we're making the right decision. We've been trying to be as transparent and accountable as possible, and the safety and well-being of all Floridians, but in particular, those most vulnerable, those most impacted, is something that we're very mindful of.
So, Mary Ellen, what nursing home information have other states released?
Yeah, so when it comes to the privacy and the legal questions about that, it's pretty clear that that's not an issue. Nobody is asking for individual names of residents or staff members who've been tested positive. So other states have released so much more information, and they still have to abide by the same criteria and privacy guidelines as Florida does. So it's clearly a choice here why we're not getting more information. And I think it has an implication in some ways. I've talked to some family members who are worried about whether they want to know whether their facility has a current positive case. Their relatives are getting anxious. They want to know whether they should bring that person home and have them stay with them. But they don't know the risk. And they don't know if that person's been exposed to somebody. So some facilities are going forward and putting on their website whether or not they have current cases, or even more importantly, if they have no current cases, because the absence of information for a while was just as frightening as knowing whether there was a COVID case at a nursing home or not.
Mary Ellen Kloss is the Capitol Bureau Chief for the Miami Herald, Tampa Bay Times. Mary Ellen, stick with us. We want to talk more about nursing homes, assisted living facilities in Florida. Perhaps you have a loved one in one of those facilities. What questions do you have? Share your experiences, 305-995-1800. Statewide phone number wide open here, 305-995-1800. Marty Goetz is with us now, Chief Executive Officer at the River Garden Senior Services in Jacksonville. Marty, welcome to Florida Public Radio. Thanks for your time today.
Thank you for having me, Tom. Glad to be with you.
What's the current situation at your facility? Any known infections by staff or patients?
We have no identified COVID-19 on our campus, either for residents or our staff.
And what kind of screening have you done for your staff?
So early on, we set up at our entry point onto the campus. We're on a 40-acre campus here in Jacksonville. We set up screening of everybody coming onto the campus. And consistent with the orders that came down from the governor and from the CDC, entry to this campus now, since last month, has been very limited.
And what was that screening like, Marty? Was it temperature checks of staff members?
That's correct. We were taking temperature checks on everybody coming in. Mm-hmm. The only folks who gave us a problem with it was the United States Postal Office Service. They refused, and so they're dropping the mail at our guardhouse, scooting away.
Hmm. Mary Ellen Kloss is with us from the Miami Herald's Tallahassee Bureau, and she had mentioned that some nursing homes have taken to the step about discussing their COVID-19 status on their own websites with the lack of information coming from the state. Have you done that at all at River Garden Senior Services in Jacksonville?
Yes, we have since very early on. We put it on our website. We have sent out communications to families. It was really important to us. I think it's important to the field that we be very transparent and that we communicate easily and well. People have to believe that they're getting accurate information from us. Holding up the release of the names did nothing but hurt the credibility of the entire field. And that list is going to grow because my understanding is you don't come off it once you're on it. And since nursing homes and assisted living facilities are places where a very vulnerable population congregates, you're going to see more.
Marty, stick with us here. We want to remind folks that you are listening to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. We're talking about nursing homes and COVID-19. The state on Saturday released its first list of nursing home facilities where COVID-19 infections have been discovered by either staff members or residents. Mary Ellen Kloss is the Capitol Chief at the Bureau for the Miami Herald, Tampa Bay Times in Tallahassee. She's still with us. And Marty Goetz is also with us, the Chief Executive Officer at River Garden Senior Services in Jacksonville. Let's take some phone calls here, folks. We've got Kathleen in Live Oak. Kathleen, you are on the radio. Thanks for calling.
Yes. I'm concerned about the nursing home Swanee Health and Rehab here in Swanee County. They have 91 of our 106 cases in the county. Supposedly the task force that Ron DeSantis sent in tested everyone at the facility, but those tests were bad and they haven't come back to retest. So I'm concerned about that, and I'm sure if it's happening here in this little tiny county, that it's happening other places.
Yeah, Kathleen, thank you for sharing that. Mary Ellen, what do you know about this particular home, but more generally about the efforts that the state has for testing at some of these homes that have shown to be sources of some outbreaks?
You know, that is another area that we're, you know, as much as the lieutenant governor has vowed to be transparent, we don't know how many tests have been made available at each of these homes and how much testing has been done. When it comes to Swanee, yes, the state identified that early on as a very, very vulnerable place when the governor made his announcement last week, there were 51 cases, and now it's up to 91 positive cases. And when they made their first announcement, 30 of the 51 were staff members. It, I'm sure Mr. Gates will acknowledge what that place must be going through if you lose that many staff members. Those are just the positive ones. Then yeah. Can you imagine how many others were exposed and have to be isolated and in quarantine? So it's enormously frightening what's going on there, and we don't have much information. They have not given us much detail. I think actually the county public health unit in Flawney County has been a little more forthcoming, but I've talked to city council people there who are very concerned, and yes, there's enormous absence of information.
Marty, how about your communications back and forth to the Department of Health, the state agency that is certainly in control of the COVID-19 information? What's that experience been like for you as a nursing home owner or boss?
Well, I'm the CEO. This is a not-for-profit.
Gotcha.
Here in Jacksonville. We're sponsored by the Jacksonville Jewish community. We're contacted periodically by the Duval County Department of Health. We're in contact with the State Emergency Operations Center, and all of our healthcare facilities have to report daily to their emergency center.
What do you have to report daily, Marty?
They want census. They want to know status of anybody who's been tested, anybody that's positive.
But are there tests going on daily?
No, there are not. And so here's the real problem. We've identified for a long time now that facilities such as mine that house seniors in either nursing homes or assisted living facilities or independent living facilities are at significant risk. And it's because of age and it's because of their age.
Right? Yeah, age and underlying health conditions. Marty, I'm going to interrupt because we're coming up on a break. Stick with us, though. We're going to come back to you, Marty. I promise. Okay. Stay on the line here. Okay. We're going to continue to talk with Marty Gates, CEO of a nursing home facility in Jacksonville, Mary Ellen Kloss, Capital Bureau Chief at the Miami Herald Tampa Bay Times, also with us. Your phone calls and experiences, assisted living facilities, nursing homes, adult centers, 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800. The roundup continues. Welcome back to the Florida Roundup here from Florida Public Radio. Thanks again for listening this week. I'm Tom Hudson in Miami. My co-host Melissa Ross is off this week. We're talking about nursing homes and COVID-19. On Saturday, the state released its first list of nursing homes where workers and or patients have tested positive for a COVID-19 infection. Over 300 homes are on that list. However, we do not know whether or not workers or patients at those homes, we don't know the status of those infections or even fatalities at those homes. 305-995-1800, 305-995-1800. Mary Ellen Kloss is back with us, Capital Bureau Chief for the Miami Herald, with us from Tallahassee. And Marty Goetz also with us, Chief Executive Officer of River Garden Senior Services, a home facility in Jacksonville. Marty, before the break there, I interrupted you. We were talking about your reporting back to the state, what the state is wanting to hear from nursing homes on a daily basis, and frankly, the lack of kind of any robust daily testing that you're experiencing at River Garden Senior Services. Marty, let me put you back on the radio here. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Marty. You're back on the radio now. What about that testing status?
Thank you, Tom. So here's the real problem, okay? We know that upwards of 20-25% of people who are positive for COVID-19 are asymptomatic, which means they're going to slide right past my screening at the gate, okay? And everybody else is screening everywhere else. What has to occur, and what I demanded in my letter of 10 days ago to the governor, to the Surgeon General, and to the Secretary of the Agency for Healthcare Administration, was that they go into facilities and test everyone.
Yeah. Let me read a piece of that letter, Marty. You wrote, quote, "We demand testing immediately, starting with those nursing homes and ALFs throughout Florida that have already been identified as having COVID-19 in their facilities and quickly expanding to everyone," end quote.
That's correct. In the initial version of that, I wrote, "We request," and I changed it to demand because requests are not being listened to.
So,
what's going on now is the government is going in. What's going on now, Tom, is the government is going in to test after COVID-19 has been identified. If we're going to get a handle on this, in the absence of a vaccine, we've got to get ahead of this fire. Otherwise, we're just continuing to chase it, which means we've got to get into facilities that haven't reported COVID-19. We've got to test and identify those folks who are presenting with it so we can quarantine them and get them out.
Mary
That's
Ellen,
what has to occur.
What kind of response does a letter like this have with the administration?
Well, I have always admired Mr. Goetz and his operation. I wish every facility had somebody with the kind of vision that is led by somebody like him. But I have to say, that's not happening. Testing is the underlying weak link in any resolution that we have right now to this problem. And it's the first place it should be happening, absolutely. You know, when the governor made the acknowledgement that it was time to go in with strike teams at these elder care facilities around the state, he realized it, acknowledged for the first time that what the state was doing was not enough. So they brought in the National Guard, but it's after they've had, they're sending the National Guard into places where we already know there's, as Marty says, a fire. What needs to happen is the other thing the governor acknowledged is that in places like Suwannee County, they determined that the cause of that outbreak was a staff member who was asymptomatic. Mm. So they've concluded that asymptomatic staffers are bringing it in, not because they are aware they even have it. So that level of testing needs to be universal at every single facility. And they have just chosen not to do that.
Yeah, preemptive testing and regular testing we've seen from other geographies that have battled COVID-19 around the globe is key here. 305-995-1800 is our phone number, 305-995-1800. You can also share your thoughts on Twitter, at Florida Roundup is our handle there, talking about nursing homes, assisted living facilities, and the response and the vulnerabilities for COVID-19. In Tampa, Grant is on line three. Go ahead, Grant. You're on the radio.
Hi. I just wanted to kind of chime in on the question of why the state did not release the data sooner than it did. And it seems like there's quite a bit of, back and forth on that. And what I've not heard at all is the specter of litigation and how once these numbers are released, there's a potential feeding frenzy for litigation. And so I think that played a huge part in the hesitancy to release these numbers.
So you mean on the part of patients, workers, or family members to potentially sue the facility?
Anybody that can be found to be a plaintiff will likely be sought out. And so this is just one part of
I hear you, Grant. I'm not sure releasing the information publicly or not encourages or discourages that, Mary Ellen, because ultimately we know that information becomes known, even if it is just by, a healthcare worker who happens to work at that facility who comes down with COVID-19, or a family member whose loved one happens to come down with it as a patient or perhaps succumb to it. Are there active discussions about liability issues as it relates to nursing homes and COVID-19 by the administration?
So there has been a request by the Florida Healthcare Association, which represents nursing homes, that Governor DeSantis extend the sovereign immunity protection against to protect nursing homes and other medical providers from any lawsuits relating to COVID-19.
Marty, is that something that you support?
Responded.
Yeah, sorry to interrupt there, Mary Ellen, but let's get Marty here, who helps run a home. Is that something you support, Marty?
I am aware of the effort. I am neutral to it because I don't think you can do it. This is a reported disease. We are required to report it. So you can't keep it hidden. Nobody's going to be successful in keeping it hidden.
So, Marty, in other words,
all that holding up the names did was create further suspicion among the public, which doesn't serve anybody well. You know, what we're dealing with here, Tom, is a public health, is the abject failure of public health in this country.
Marty, let me squeeze in a reminder for folks who are listening that they are listening or tuned in to the Florida Roundup from Florida Public Radio. Marty Goetz is the CEO at River Garden Senior Services. Mary Ellen Klass, the bureau chief at the Miami Herald. I want to get to a few more calls as we can before we hit the top of the hour here. William has been patient on line five. William, go ahead. You're on the radio now.
Hello. I have a friend who actually works in a state-run veterans care facility. The state has numerous facilities of this sort in the state. And just this week did the staff get tested. Okay?
And has there been any testing, William, to your knowledge of the patients?
All I know is the staff were tested. Okay? The presumption is that at least at the level of people that have to come and go in and out of the facility must be tested. At least they're doing that. Okay? But this is a fact that I think your reporters should be checking up on is what is the status of that testing. And then the other thing that I have a concern about is that the statistics of deaths in southern states typically have not included the race of the person that died. And I think that, you know,
William, let me get to that. We're just tight on time here, William, so I'm sorry to interrupt. Mary Ellen, we do get racial, ethnic, and age data from the State Department of Health when it updates these COVID numbers once or twice a day, don't we? Is that correct?
Yes. They are starting to release that. Yes.
And then to his earlier kind of story tip here about state-run veterans facilities, what have you heard, if anything, Mary Ellen, in regards to those?
Well, it's interesting because the state has now asked the federal government to come in and help assist in providing backup staffing at nursing homes around the state. And they've turned to the Veterans Administration and asked them for help. And as far as the bigger question on testing, I think yes, I know that the department is collecting information on how many staff members at each of these facilities gets tested, but they're not releasing it. And I think it probably goes to the point that Marty was raising, and that is that's because there's not enough testing happening.
Marty Goetz, when is the next round of testing, if you know, for staff and residents at your facility at River Garden Senior Services?
So we haven't had any testing on our campus because we haven't reported any suspicion of COVID-19. Okay, that's an important piece to understand.
Mm-hmm.
I would bring a group in here tomorrow to test everyone happily.
Marty,
so let me tell you what I have said.
Tom, we've got 20 seconds, Marty. Go ahead.
What I have said to everyone living and working on this campus: my job now is not to make you happy; it is to keep you alive. And to keep you alive, we have to do certain things that you would find unacceptable otherwise. And we are implementing all of that on our campus now in an effort to keep people alive.
Yeah.
That needs testing.
Marty Goetz is the chief executive officer at River Garden Senior Services in Jacksonville. Thank you for your time, Marty, and for sharing your experiences with us here on the Florida Roundup. Appreciate it. Take care of yourself.
Thank you for having me. Thank
Mary Ellen Klass, always wonderful to have your reporting shared with us here from the Miami Herald. Thank you for your time, Mary Ellen.
Great to be here. Thanks.
The program is produced by WJCT Public Media in Jacksonville and WLRN Public Media in Miami. Heather Schatz and Denise Royal are our producers. Jason Zabka is the WLRN Director of Radio Programming. WLRN's Director of Radio Operations is Peter Meritz. He's also the guy pushing the buttons, our technical director. We get engineering help each week from Doug Peterson, Charles Michaels, and Josh Torres. Richard Ives answers the phones. Our theme music is provided by Miami jazz guitarist Aaron Libos at aaronlibos.com. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening.